Welcome back, everybody. Get your sick and defective cattle out of here. It's time for Chip and Eric.
Yeah. And we have Party Cake Peeps with us as well. That's pretty exciting, Eric. Yeah.
Yeah. I gave Hannah the cotton candy ones for her and the kids. And I'll eat one of them too, of course. But
yeah,
we just, our thing with Peeps, you got to open them and leave them.
Okay.
And then we'll come back to them.
Oh, crunchy.
Once they're stale, we'll come back to them.
Well, yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
Sure, whatever.
Yeah. Once they're sick and defective, that's when we eat them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's a little crazy, Eric. But
yeah.
Speaking of sick and defective, today is day 71. It is March 11th, and we are going to read Deuteronomy 17, 18, 19, and we're going to jump ahead to Romans 15:1-21. You still jumping?
Oh man, I've been jumping.
Oh yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm sick and defective. I can't jump.
He is.
All right.
He's going to cough 50 times.
I am, absolutely. There is something about this room that, like, or this building. It's this building.
It's the building.
There's something in this building that makes me cough.
We
got to
read somewhere else. Well, we tried to read at Norm's and that didn't go well.
No.
That was really bad.
No.
Remember that, Eric? You forgot that already.
Mm-mm.
Yes, you did.
No.
You forgot. That was a bad day.
That was a bad day.
It was a crazy day.
Yep. You know, people said this day, this year when we got to that day, read it, no issues.
Oh. Right?
Two different people, one in person and one online, commented, I am so proud. Oh, actually three, because one through a text.
Okay.
I'm so proud of how you handled that day.
Okay.
So there was no,
wow.
It was, there was no nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah. It was probably,
I'm really grown as a person.
I didn't read it this year, so it's probably my fault.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's
it. I get triggered. I'm the weakest link here, folks.
No.
For sure.
Chip and the friends. Everybody loves Chip and the friends. All right.
Let's do it.
Deuteronomy chapter 17. Never sacrifice sick or defective cattle, sheep, or goats to the Lord your God, for he detests such gifts. When you begin living in the towns the Lord your God is giving you, a man or a woman among you might do evil in the sight of the Lord your God and violate the covenant. For instance, they might serve other gods or worship the sun, the moon, or any of the stars, the forces of heaven, which I have strictly forbidden. When you hear about it, investigate the matter thoroughly. If it is true that this detestable thing has been done in Israel, then the man or woman who has committed such an evil act must be taken to the gates of the town and stoned to death. But never put a person to death on the testimony of only one witness. There must always be two or three witnesses. The witnesses must throw the first stones, and then all the people may join in. In this way, you will purge the evil from among you. Suppose a case arises in a local court that is too hard for you to decide. For instance, whether someone is guilty of murder or only of manslaughter, or a difficult lawsuit or a case involving different kinds of assault. Take such legal cases to the place the Lord your God will choose and present them to the Levitical priest or the judge on duty at that time. They will hear the case and declare the verdict. You must carry out the verdict they announce and the sentence they prescribe at the place the Lord chooses. You must do exactly what they say. After they have interpreted the law and declared their verdict, the sentence they impose must be fully executed. Do not modify it in any way. Anyone arrogant enough to reject the verdict of the judge or of the priest who represents the Lord your God must die. In this way, you will purge the evil from Israel. Then everyone else will hear about it and will be afraid to act so arrogantly.
Guidelines for a king. You are about to enter the land the Lord your God is giving you. When you take it over and settle there, you may think, we should select a king to rule over us like the other nations around us. If this happens, be sure to select a king, the man the Lord your God chooses. You must appoint a fellow Israelite. He may not be a foreigner. The king must not build up a large stable of horses for himself or send his people to Egypt to buy horses, for the Lord has told you, you must never return to Egypt. The king must not take many wives for himself, because they will turn his heart away from the Lord, and he must not accumulate large amounts of wealth in silver and gold for himself. So these are pretty important verses here. When he sits on the throne as king, he must copy for himself this body of instructions on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priest. He must always keep that copy with him and read it daily as long as he lives. That way he will learn to fear the Lord his God by obeying all the terms of these instructions and decrees. This regular reading will prevent him from becoming proud and acting as if he is above his fellow citizens. It will also prevent him from turning away from these commands in the smallest way. It will ensure that he and his descendants will reign for many generations in Israel.
Gifts for the priests and Levites. Remember that the Levitical priests, that is, the whole of the tribe of Levi, will receive no allotment of land among the other tribes in Israel. Instead, the priests and Levites will eat from the special gifts given to the Lord, for that is their share. They will have no land of their own among the Israelites. The Lord himself is their special possession, just as he promised them. These are the parts the priests may claim as their share from the cattle, sheep, and goats that the people bring as offerings, the shoulder, the cheeks, and the stomach. You must also give the priest the first share of the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and the wool at time of shearing. For the Lord your God chose the tribe of Levi out of all your tribes to minister in the Lord's name forever. Suppose a Levite chooses to move from his town in Israel, wherever he is living, to the place the Lord chooses for worship. He may minister there in the name of the Lord his God, just like all his fellow Levites who are serving the Lord there. He may eat his share of the sacrifices and offerings, even if he also receives support from his family.
A call to holy living. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, be very careful not to imitate the detestable customs of the nations living there. For example, never sacrifice your son or daughter as a burnt offering, and do not let your people practice fortune-telling or use sorcery or interpret omens or engage in witchcraft or cast spells or function as mediums or psychics or call forth the spirits of the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. It's because the other nations have done these detestable things that the Lord your God will drive them out ahead of you. But you must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you are about to displace consult sorcerers and fortune tellers, but the Lord your God forbids you to do such things.
True and false prophets. Moses continued, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. For this is what you yourselves have requested of the Lord your God when you were assembled at Mount Sinai. You said, 'Don't let us hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, or see this blazing fire, for we will die.' Then the Lord said to me, 'What they have said is right. I will raise up a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites. I will put my words in his mouth and tell the people everything I command, and he will tell the people everything I command him. I will personally deal with anyone who will not listen to the messages the prophet proclaims on my behalf. But anyone who falsely claims to speak in my name or who speaks in the name of another god must die.' But you may wonder, how will we know whether or not a prophecy is from the Lord? If the prophet speaks in the Lord's name, but the prediction does not happen or come true, you will know that the Lord did not give that message. That prophet has spoken without my authority and need not be feared."
Cities of Refuge, Deuteronomy chapter 19. When the Lord your God destroys the nations whose land he is giving you, you will take over their land and settle in their towns and homes. Then you must set apart three cities of refuge in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Survey the territory and divide the land the Lord your God is giving you into three districts, with one of these cities in each district. Then anyone who has killed someone can flee to one of the cities of refuge for safety. If someone kills another person unintentionally, without previous hostility, the slayer may flee to any of these cities to live in safety. For example, suppose someone goes into the forest with a neighbor to cut wood, and suppose one of them swings an axe to chop down a tree, and the axe head flies off the handle, killing the other person. In such cases, the slayer may flee to one of the cities of refuge to live in safety. If the distance to the nearest city of refuge is too far, an enraged avenger might be able to chase down and kill the person who caused death. Then the slayer would die unfairly, since he had never shown hostility toward the person who died. That is why I'm commanding you to set aside three cities of refuge. And if the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he swore to your ancestors, and gives you all the land he promised them, you must designate three additional cities of refuge. He will give you this land if you're careful to obey all the commands I've given you, if you always love the Lord your God and walk in his ways. That way, you will prevent the death of innocent people in the land the Lord your God is giving you as your special possession. You will not be held responsible for the death of innocent people. But suppose someone is hostile toward a neighbor and deliberately ambushes and murders him, and then flees to one of the cities of refuge. In that case, the elders of the murderer's hometown must send agents to the city of refuge to bring him back and hand him over to the dead person's avenger to be put to death. Do not feel sorry for that murderer. Purge from Israel the guilt of murdering innocent people, then all will go well with you.
Concern for justice. When you arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving you as your special possession, you must never steal anyone's land by moving the boundary markers your ancestors set up to mark their property. You must not convict anyone of a crime on the testimony of only one witness. The facts of the case must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If a malicious witness comes forward and accuses someone of a crime, then both the accuser and the accused must appear before the Lord by coming to the priests and judges in office at that time. The judges must investigate the case thoroughly. If the accuser has brought false charges against the fellow Israelite, you must impose on the accuser the sentence he intended for the other person. In this way, you will purge such evil from among you. Then the rest of the people will hear about it and be afraid to do such an evil thing. You must show no pity for the guilty. Your rule should be life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot.
Okay, we're going to now read Romans chapter 15, 1 to 21. Romans 15. Living to please others. Who, or we who are strong, must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scriptures say, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. Such things were written in scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. May God, who gives us patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promises he made to their ancestors. He also came so that the Gentiles might give glory to God for his mercies to them. This is what the psalmist meant when he wrote, "For this I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praises to your name." In another place, it is written, "Rejoice with his people, you Gentiles." And yet again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all you people of the earth." And in another place, Isaiah said, "The heir to David's throne will come, and he will rule over the Gentiles. They will place their hope on him." I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Paul's reason for writing. "I'm fully convinced, my dear brothers and sisters, that you are full of goodness. You know these things so well, you can teach each other all about them. Even so, I have been bold enough to write for some of these points. I've been bold enough to write about some of these points, knowing that all you need is this reminder. For by God's grace, I am a special messenger from Christ Jesus to you Gentiles. I bring you the good news so that I might present you as an acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. So I have reason to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me in my service to God. Yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I worked among them. They were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. In this way, I have fully presented the good news of Christ from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. My ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather than where a church has already been started by someone else. I've been following the plan spoken of in the scriptures where it says, those who have never been told about him will see, and those who have never heard of him will understand. In fact, my visit to you has been delayed so long because I've been preaching in these places."
And that is our reading today.
Oh, did I go one too far?
That's all right.
I went one
too far.
Give a
little bonus verse, everybody.
A little bonus verse. It's free.
A little bonus verse.
No charge.
Yeah, no charge today.
No charge.
Well, good job. You were really into that reading.
I was.
That's good.
Yep.
Yep. You were.
I knew why I was into it.
I do know why.
Why?
Because we have two questions.
Because we got two questions, Chip.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going to say it, I will.
Okay. Say it.
Chip.
Yes.
How does this help you love God more?
This helps me love God more. I'm thinking specifically about the Deuteronomy passages that we read today. You know, where he says in verse 14, God, you know, forbids you to do such things. He went through a whole bunch of stuff that other nations do that were not to do, that they were not to do. And he wanted them to be blameless, not like them, don't live like them and copy them. Yeah. And so God forbids you to do such things. And I love God so much because of that, because he wanted to protect them, ultimately his name, and give him glory. Mm-hmm. But he cares about them and he wants to protect us. So God forbids us to do certain things. You know, we have positive and negative commands. We don't have this covenant that they had specifically, but we have positive and negative commands in scripture that we can learn from in the New Testament, but also principles from the old that carry over into new that are to protect us. So I love that about God. He's always thinking of our well-being. He creates these boundaries so that we can experience the life that he has for us, not just eternal life, but abundant life today, a rich experience of life today. Doesn't mean it will be always easy. Mm-hmm. The road will be bumpy, but there's guidelines and guardrails.
Absolutely.
To protect us and lead us. I used this illustration many years ago. So we lived in, I lived in, well, my wife and I did too, Manahawkin, New Jersey. So, yep. So that's the Manahawkin is the mainland. And we went to the island. We actually lived on the island a little bit, but we had to cross this pretty big, they call it the causeway, a big bridge. It went over.
Okay.
And the idea is, you know, it had boundaries on the side.
Well, yeah.
You know, it was pretty high up. It had boundaries. I'm thankful. Just imagine, and I used this illustration way back in the day, that if you took all those off, people would go crazy.
Yeah.
It would be wild. You'd be so like, you know, it would just, those boundaries are there to give you peace.
Yeah.
Because God wants what's best for you. So thankful for them. Might not always agree with them or like them, but he does it to protect us. And so be thankful for the boundaries. And I'm glad that he sets it up for them and for us today.
Yeah. And to ignore the boundaries that Jesus or that God set for the Israelites that no longer apply today.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Because they all give hints at his character.
They do.
So it would be like, maybe you're not removing the guardrails, but it'd be like, removing all the lines off that road, though, right? Like, I mean, yeah. And then the guardrails go with,
lines. Yeah. You know,
it's crazy.
Sure, yeah.
That's terrifying. Just take it all gives off. Me anxiety just thinking about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, me too.
Oh, it's terrible. Okay, so what? How does this help me love others more or better? I love this picture here. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord, for even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scriptures say, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, as the scriptures have been fulfilled in encouragement, and we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. May God, who gives patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. So because Jesus didn't live for himself, he lived for others. We should live not for ourselves, but for others. And because it's fitting for us to have harmony with each other, because we're followers of Jesus. And then it says, then, so this is the purpose of our harmony with each other. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like, your voice crying out to glorify God is not as honoring to him as the voice of many that you have harmony with crying out to God to glorify him. The unity. So, and I mean that in the sense that if you decide to leave the church because you just don't like it, you can't get along, you don't, you know, these people are toxic and blah, and you know, you hate it and whatever. That's not the unity that Paul's describing here through the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is saying, be united with each other because that's how you follow Christ and that's how you glorify the Father. Mm-hmm. This is basically a Trinitarian moment
mm-hmm.
where the Spirit mm-hmm. brings us together because that's due to followers of Christ
mm-hmm.
and all for the glory of the Father, right? So I just love that. And I think, man, I can love people better when I recognize that my relationship with them
that's good.
Equips my unity with them, mm-hmm. not just relationship, because relationship can be bad. My unity with other people
yep.
can help me and help them to honor God more and to be harmonious in our singing of praises to the Lord. So
that's good.
Yeah, that's okay. What I think.
Wow. Well, I like what you think.
Cool. Hey, it was a good day.
Good day. Great day.
Bonus verse.
Yes, that was, yeah.
A
that
little bonus good. Verse, a little freebie.
Yeah, a little freebie today, Eric. Good job. That was very nice.
I'm feeling generous.
You're so kind and generous.
Yeah. Well, yeah. God gives you the gift of giving,
yeah,
give generously.
That's right. And it preserves the unity that you talked about.
That's right. That's hey, good. There you go. Perfection. But it does violate the boundaries. Yeah, it does. So maybe I'm driving off the bridge.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, no.
Be careful, Eric.
Oh, no. All right, guys.
Here we go.